Okay, thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Little do people understand, especially in Christianity of this world, because every major truth that's necessary to understand about God the Father and Jesus Christ in the way that the Bible really teaches is labeled as kooky, heresy, or a cult. Now, if Michael would have had more time, so I'll take the time, why would the book of Genesis be so important for the end times? And remember, what did Jesus say three times in the book of Revelation? I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, right? What does Genesis have to do with that? And what does the blessing of Ephraim and Manasseh, and I like the Hebrew pronunciation, and now you know why we relied on Michael for translating the Old Testament, okay? What does that have to do with the end time? It has a great deal to do with the end time. It has to do with, in the end time, it has to do with the rulership of the world by England and America for the last 500 years. But most people think that the Jews are the sum total of all 12 tribes of Israel, which is not true. Okay, so I'm going to take just a little time to add to it so that we understand what is happening. Okay, now let's come to Genesis 50. We'll just pick up where we left off. And all the way through, as Michael pointed out, the same thing that Jesus requires of us, that we're to love God more than father, mother, brother, sister, lands, and our own life, also. We are called out of the world and told to not live of the world, even though we live in the world. And that's what God required of Abraham. He said, get you from your father's house and your father's country and go to a land that I will show you, and there I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Now, that's an all-inclusive statement, don't you think? And when God says something like that, he means it. And that began from that time forward, clear on down to our day, and will continue on into the millennium as well. Now, after the funeral and burial of Jacob, they all came back to Egypt, Genesis 50 and verse 14. And Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers, and all that went up with them to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will perhaps hate us and will certainly repay us all the evil which we did to him. And they sent a messenger to Joseph. They didn't even want to go see him face to face. You know, we don't want to face him face to face. Send a messenger. Your father commanded before he died, saying, thus shall you say to Joseph, I beseech you now, forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. And be pleased now, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Okay. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save a great many people alive. And now do not fear, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spoke to their hearts. So Joseph forgave them. And here is the whole story of how it is with our lives in relationship to God and repentance and change and coming to God. So that must have meant an awful lot to all of them. And can you imagine that at that reconciliation meeting between Joseph and his brothers, what a tremendous and moving experience that was. So right here in the Old Testament, we have New Testament doctrine. See, that's why we have the whole Bible. And all of these things were written so that we can learn. And all of these things have been preserved so we can understand. Now here in Genesis 49, we need to read something very important and ask some questions. Now there are many, many books that have been written about the lost 10 tribes of Israel. And where did they go? Well, if they would read Genesis 49, they would have the identification by territory in a general sense given so you would know where they were. But there have been a great number of books written about the lost 10 tribes, U.S. and prophecy. As a matter of fact, our editor Phil Neal is writing a book on the United States and prophecy, Britain and prophecy, and so forth. I can give you the information on those books at a later time. But notice what he says here. Let's come back to Genesis 49 and verse 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the last days." Well, that's for us today. Now, please put in your notes Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, blessings and the cursings. Okay? One interesting note that you might want to think on. In the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, and I'll leave the final cover out. You can look at it. It's at the printers right now. There is also, which we couldn't include here, the appointed time of the 10 tribes of Israel, and in particularly Ephraim and Manasseh, because he blessed them and made them his sons. Now, there are many numerics that can be involved in it. There's many, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first involved in it. All the principles we find in the Bible. But the last days is now. And we go back, why did England and then America ascend to rule the world for nearly 500 years? And why is it now that it's coming down, both England and America? Well, if you read Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and cursings, you will understand. But let's come here to the blessing that he gave to Joseph. Genesis 49, verse 22. Now understand that Israel had the power and authority from God to bless and prophesy about his children. Now notice Joseph. This includes Ephraim and Manasseh. And I want you to think about the Jewish situation, which is entirely different. And ask yourself the question, is this blessing that I'm reading here for Joseph, has it ever come upon the Jews? And the answer is no. They have their blessing. They have their difficulties. We've had our blessings. We have our difficulties. And it's evident to anyone who knows the Bible that really the hand of God's judgment on Britain is about 5 years ahead of America, because Britain is Ephraim, and Ephraim is being judged by God. So here's the blessing to Joseph, which includes Ephraim and Manasseh. So think of both of them. Okay. Oh, by the way, according to the Jubilee cycle as we understand it today, 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was signed to separate Ephraim from Manasseh, was a Jubilee year. See? So God has a lot of appointed times that we have got to search out, see? It's not just that we're saved and we ignore the rest of the world and we ignore the people of the world and we are high and mighty. No, God will correct his church, which he has, and we've all lived through that too, see. No. Verse 22 now. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And remember the blessing to Ephraim was that he shall be a great, he shall be a company of nations, called Commonwealth in today's parlance. And that Manasseh would become great. Now, think of both of those as I'm reading here. The archers have fiercely attacked him and have shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And that's where the throne from Jerusalem finally ended up, and it's in London today. So within Ephraim, there is the family of the Davidic dynasty that is sitting on the throne of David because God said, promised that there would never lack a man sitting on the throne of David. That's a long story too, see. That's why the Bible is so important, because there's so much in it, see. God is creator of the world. God is creator of mankind. God has a great and fantastic plan that is so marvelous, that is almost unimaginable unless we can comprehend as much as we can what God is doing with God's Spirit. See? Verse 25, by the God of your father who shall help you, and may the Almighty bless you with the blessings of heaven above, the blessings of the deep that lie beneath, the blessing of the breast and the womb. Now you read Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Declaration, and you will see that the words agree exactly with what this blessing is. The blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of my ancestors. To the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him, the ruler, the leader who is separated from his brethren. Now that's a tremendous, mighty blessing. Has the tribe of Judah ever received that kind of power? Nope. Let's come to Deuteronomy 33. Let's read the blessing that Moses gave to the 12 tribes. Verse 13. Again, think about this in modern time. Deuteronomy 33, page 327 in the Bible. Okay? Think about this blessing. Now, how many have been I think it is Disneyland, where they have that 360-degree series of movie screens? Okay. And they fly you across America, north and south and east and west, and you see the plains, you see all of the agricultural land, you see the rivers, you see the mountains, you see everything, the greatness of God's creation that he has given to us, you see. So when I read this, I think about when I stood there and watched that for the first time, and I thought, here is all the evidence of God's blessings literally right before our eyes. And so blinded are the people that they don't even understand it. But why would this nation, in its constitution and in its declaration of independence, why would it be in league with God? Because they had the Bible. Now, Americans better wake up and understand one thing very important. Whenever you bring God into it, and you say you're going to do certain things, and you credit God with certain things that he has done to you, know for sure he's going to hold you accountable. See? Okay, verse 13, Deuteronomy 33. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land. Have we fed the world? Yes, indeed. With the precious things of the heavens, for the dew and the deep that couches beneath. I want you to think about Britain, America, the Commonwealth countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. And look what happened to South Africa first. I remember when that was occurring. I got letters from people in South Africa saying, what's happening here is going to happen in Britain and is going to happen in America. We are just the first, because God's word for blessing or for cursing is true and is going to happen. Okay? So think about all the things that we've had, the wealth, the oil, the gold, the silver, the diamonds, the precious things that there are. Think about the abundance that we have had, as God said, that you would live in a land where there would be no scarcity of food. And yet look at some of the places of the rest of the world. Famine, starvation, killing, looting, thievery, lying, cheating. And instead of wanting to be a nation to bring God to the world, we have sold our birthright to become like the nations of the world, whom we had the responsibility to teach the way of God as a nation, and yea, as a church. Okay? Verse 14. For the precious things of the fruit of the sun, with the precious things of the yield of the months, with the chief things of the ancient mountains, how old is the earth? And for the precious things from of the everlasting hills, for the precious things of the earth and the fullness of it. Why have we ended up with all that wealth and all the different places we have gone? Because God promised it with these blessings. And for the goodwill of him who dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him who was separated from his brothers. His glory shall be like the firstborn of the bull. Not interesting. What is one of the symbols of Ephraim and Manasseh? The bull. What is the symbol of Wall Street? The bull. Why is it not a giraffe? At least he could stick his neck out, you know. His horns are like the horns of the wild ox. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And everyone keeps asking, well, why do we have to be involved around the world? Because that was God's designation of our responsibility. And with it, we should have taken the Bible. And with it, we should have helped the nations of the world. And since we haven't, now, the other sons of Abraham and Isaac, Ishmael and Esau, are turning against us as God's correction for leaving him because of all the blessings that he's given to us. With them he shall push the peoples of the earth together, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Now, never has the tribe of Judah, being the Jewish people, ever fulfilled that. As a matter of fact, because the Son of God came to them. And think how different it would have been if they would have recognized Jesus for who he was, what he was. Because, see, God sets before us choices, life and death, good and evil. He set before them choices. He came and spoke to them. He performed miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He preached the gospel of the kingdom to them. And they crucified him, because that's the nature of human beings. And it's interesting. Someone will ask, who killed Jesus? Okay, well, let me give you the answer that I wrote in the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. The high priest represented all the religions of the world. Pilate represented all the governments of the world. The mob who said, crucify him, represented all the people of the world. So who has killed Christ? Every human being, because the sacrifice of Christ was given for the forgiveness of sin. Now, all of these things are contained in the Bible. And yet, today people reject them. And out of Ephraim, I got to give a sermon on this. I just got the information the other day. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. Someone in England, which is Ephraim, now has their own version of the Ten Commandments in modern words that are the most blasphemous against God that I have ever read. So that's going to have to wait for a separate sermon. I have to have time to verify it and find out what it is. But you see, I will end with this. Let's come to Exodus 20. And as we turn to Exodus 20, let's ask a question. How difficult are the Ten Commandments to understand? Because this is how God uses these commandments as a measuring stick for all the nations of the world. Because he says, if a nation does good, I'll bless it. If a nation does evil, I'll withdraw my blessing. If I pronounce evil against them and repent, like the Ninevites and Jonah, I'll repent of the evil that I said I would do to them. See, because there's always choices. And it's all based upon the Ten Commandments because those go clear back to the creation of man and will extend clear beyond. And we will have also those as the guide for eternal life. So imagine this now. God brought all the children of Israel out of Egypt, led them down to Mount Sinai, and he told them, chapter 19, let's look at that, we've covered it before, verse 6, just across the page. And here was the proposition that God made them and the covenant that he was going to do for them. He said, let's go back to verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, and remember, the whole Bible gets down to those three words, obey my voice, whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the New Testament. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The only thing that Ephraim and Manasseh has done, along with some of the other modern-day descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel, is get the Bible out in the world. But they didn't teach it. See, a Bible on a shelf or on a desk is of no value unless you read it, unless you use it, see? Okay? That's what they were to do. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So he spoke and they said, yes, we'll do it. So he said, all right, we're going to have a presentation of God and his covenant to you by God himself from the top of Mount Sinai. And you know, that was quite an experience because they heard the voice of God. There was thunders, there were lightning, there were whirlwinds, and the people and the animals are all down here, and they're looking up at Mount Sinai, and here's this big dark cloud that is there, and yet above that they can see the glory of God. So here's the setting. Here's the setting that God had. And he spoke to them. Verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now each one of these can have a New Testament application. The world is Egypt and Sodom, also called Babylon. We are called out of the world. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Now let's ask the question, is that hard to understand? Why do you need a new set of Ten Commandments? Okay, you know. Second commandment, you shall not make for yourselves any graven image of or any likeness of anything that's in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Is that hard to understand? No. See, we're not even to make them. You shall not bow yourselves down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those that hate me. See? Notice the difference. Notice there are choices. Notice that this next verse is New Testament doctrine, John 14 and verse 15. But showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, that's easy to understand. Now, at any time that the children repent of the iniquity of their fathers, then God will lift the curse upon them. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Is that difficult to understand? No. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your livestock, nor your strangers within your gate. Notice it doesn't say refrigerators, cars, freezers, furnaces, air conditioners, okay? Now, if you keep the Sabbath, you're always going to understand who's creator. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. And yet everyone believes Sunday is a day of worship. But if you ask them, you believe in the Ten Commandments. Oh, yeah, I believe that. Okay. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. Notice it doesn't say you shall not kill. And even a Catholic priest, in explaining why they didn't believe in the death penalty, even for horrendous crimes, he says that of the Ten Commandments, it says you shall not kill. Does not say that. It says you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Boy, try that for a political campaign today, huh? See how far you'd get with that. You shall not steal. Hello, Washington, D.C. All governments of the world, all bankers. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Hey. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Now, if in the letter of the law that had been taught to the world would be a far different place, don't you think? Yes, indeed. And that's why God has his church, because he's called all of us out of this world so that we can come into covenant with him and prepare for eternal life. And prepare to rule the world. And to prepare to save the world under Christ's direction. So every single one that God calls and has the Holy Spirit, God loves you. You're important to God. He has an eternal place for you. And all of the great things that God alone can give. So you see, the world doesn't know us. The world doesn't understand us. But in spite of that, God has his people around the world. A lot we don't even know. Most of them we don't even know. In lands we don't even know. Last report I had, in China there were over 13 million Sabbath keepers, which is more than Sabbath keepers in the rest of the world. So you see, never count God as one who will not do what he desires to do. Never think just because you feel alone, you are alone. And so that's really a summary of Jacob's life. So thank you for it, Michael. We appreciate it. And so we'll go ahead and we'll end this session. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.